Every sip of Coca-Cola brings you closer to the excitement of the FIFA World Cup 26. Because nothing compares to the joy. So grab a Coke and drink in the FIFA World Cup 26. No purchase necessary. 13 plus in 50 U.S. states and D.C. with a web-enabled device. Ends March 1st with 8 entry periods. Rules at cokeurl.com/soccer rules.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Pump up the volume.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
They love this guy.
Rich Eisen. Earlier on the show, Dolphins head coach Jeff Hafley. New England Patriots cornerback Marcus Jones. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Actor Dylan O'Brien. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
We've had a first delightful 2 hours, if I may say so. Enjoyed chatting with Jeff Hafley and Marcus Jones for the first. I almost said Marcus Smart. Marcus Jones for the first times, the new head coach of the Dolphins and defensive/special teams captain of the New England Patriots. In the first 2 hours, we had a what's more likely top five list. All went down about people whose career narrative changes the most with a Super Bowl appearance. All of that. Is available through podcast form or watching it back on Disney Plus or soon to be placed piecemeal on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for those who may have missed it. Dylan O'Brien, whose new film coming out next week called Send Help, is sitting in our green room. He's going to come out in less than 20 minutes time. He's a diehard Jet fan. So ironic that his new film is called Send Help. he'll be out here shortly, but joining us in his usual Friday spot from NFL Network, my fellow inside man is, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pelissero. Good to see you, Tom. How are you?
Tommy, good to see you, Rich. Doing great. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Tommy P, what up, baby?
What's up, Tommy?
You look like you're hunkered down, man.
You're killing it.
That's what you look like to me, that you got all your supplies, the cold snaps out there right now. That's what you look like to me, Tom.
I have never seen it before. Checking the weather app last night. I wonder how cold it is. Feels like temp minus 41 here in Minneapolis. That is, that's the record, wow. I think, anytime I've ever checked it.
You're like, if you weren't such a hardworking lead pipe wielding professional of your own right, looking at you in the sweats and seeing you, I'd think you'd given up. You know, like Seinfeld style. You've given up. This is it. But it's okay. Lots going on.
It says catastrophic ice and heavy snow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Catastrophic. I mean, it's like frozen.
Wow.
All right, Tom, let's get into the sports here. And the naming of Jesse Minter. It didn't surprise me, but walk me through the Ravens process that wound up with the DC of the Chargers as the HC.
Well, when we were doing the breaking news on John Harbaugh being fired a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the first names that came out of my mouth as a logical replacement was Jesse Minter. He had been in that building for 4 years. We all know about the Baltimore to Michigan to the Chargers Harbaugh connection. Minter has checked all three of those boxes, spent his time in Michigan, then was the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. Didn't get any head coaching interviews last year, but certainly had a bunch of opportunities. You know, really this came to a head a couple of days ago. He was down in Miami interviewing for the Raiders head coaching job, then flew to Baltimore to interview for the Ravens job, had a second interview scheduled with the Browns. He let them know, you know, if they weren't going to make him an offer, he wasn't going to come and go through the second interview. And everybody, including the Raiders, believed Minter was probably going to end up back in Baltimore. You know, the interesting part of the timing here, Rich, was, you know, they essentially knew they were hiring Jesse Minter on Wednesday night. The issue was they had a Thursday interview with Joe Brady. Well, they wanted to go through with that interview in part, I believe, because Joe Brady now, depending how some other things fall, could end up being the offensive coordinator. Another logical name that came up way back at the start of this is a potential candidate to take over. When you're talking about Lamar Jackson, his skill set at this time in his career, he's not, you know, built like Josh Allen, but there are some similar types of things that you can do in terms of the run threat, in terms of the vertical passing. Joe Brady would be a fit. Now the question becomes, does Joe Brady get the Bills head coaching job? Does he potentially get the Cardinals head coaching job, which he interviewed for a couple of days ago? Is there even a scenario where he goes back to Buffalo as the OC? That seems like the least likely of the options right now. You know, we'll see how some of these things fall, and it might take a little bit of time. But if you're talking about who the likely candidates would be to take over the offense now in Baltimore with Minter coming from the defensive side, I would put Joe Brady along with the likes of Cliff Kingsbury as a potential option. Maybe Matt Nagy could be an option. You know, those types of guys who run those offenses, all different shades of it, but all potentially could be a fit for where they want to take Lamar in that offense in Baltimore.
So I guess, as you know, it's a What's More Likely Friday. Who's more likely to be back in Buffalo next year, Joe Brady or Keon Coleman, Tom?
Keon Coleman, through no fault, really, well, I guess his fault because of various things and, you know, not showing up on time for meetings, dropping footballs in the end zone. He kind of did put himself in that position, but fairly rare for the owner to jump in and let everyone know exactly who was at fault for a pick that to this point, you know, doesn't look like it's worked out very well. You know, there were a lot of different things in that press conference. Any of us any of us who have spent any amount of time though around Terry Pegula, no, he doesn't speak publicly often.
Right.
But when he does, there is no filter. You don't quite know what he's going to say. He is extremely blunt and honest, and you got a lot of honesty through the course of that press conference, whether it was about Keon Coleman, whether it was about him defending Brandon Bean. You know, somebody in the crowd asked Bean about, you know, various things in terms of the idea that he ran a power play. And Terry said something that maybe shed a little bit of light on the things behind the scenes, which is, if you're running a power play, you're out. I'm not saying Sean McDermott ran a power play, but certainly McDermott had voiced his concerns and frustration with what he perceived to be not having enough talent on the roster. Obviously, Pegula so strongly disagreed with that that not only did he fire Sean McDermott, he promoted Brandon Bean, who now is going to be over the top of the new head coach rather than both reporting to the owner. And Bean, along with Terry Pegula, along with Josh Allen, who's they made abundantly clear in that press conference, is going to be sitting in on everything here. They are now running a unique coaching search that, depending who you ask, you know, this might be the best job of all 10 that we are filling in this offseason cycle.
Yeah, despite the bluntness or the emotions that we saw spilled out by Terry Pegula in that conversation, he did hold on to a coach for 9 years, and he does have Josh Allen, and that is something that I think a lot of people would love, along with the fan base and the new stadium and lots of reason to be excited otherwise in Western New York. Is Phillip Rivers really in line? Like, I know we were talking about him as a possible coaching candidate down the line, and he did say in front of his locker before going back to Alabama prep school coach that absolutely he thinks he could coach in the NFL. Is this real, Tom?
Well, let's go back for a second here, just in terms of the parallels. And I'm not going to bring up Jeff Saturday because nobody wants to be put in that sentence in terms of how that worked out when he came back for the Colts. But you remember several years ago, Josh McCown was coaching high school football. All of a sudden, the Houston Texans brought him in and interviewed him for the head coaching job. There was a feeling, there were some people in the organization at that time who wanted to hire Josh McCown as the head coach immediately because he had all the traits, because he had played, you know, close to 20 years in the league, because he had some experience, even if it was at the high school level, you know, had been in that seat. Phillip Rivers, certainly, you know, a Hall of Fame caliber player. He's a better player than Josh McCown. The question is he a stronger coaching candidate based upon the credentials that he would bring into the building? If you're looking at somebody who's going to bring energy and leadership, certainly, you know, Phillip Rivers, by virtue of him, you know, playing a football game after three practices at age 44, looking like he had not passed on dessert a whole lot during his 4+ years outside of the league. If he can come back and do that with his brain, what could he do if he's out there just calling plays for a quarterback? There's a lot of other things that go into that head coaching job. You know, I know in the NBA, it's more common for, you know, former players just to step right in. there's just, it's a much more complicated job, frankly, to come into the NFL. Not impossible. They're interviewing him for a reason. Maybe like Josh McCown, it could end up being, all right, he's not ready to be the head coach now, but can we convince him to come in and be the quarterback's coach or even the offensive coordinator? I would tell you this. They're wide open in terms of this search. I know the people initially said, well, it's Joe Brady versus Brian Daboll. Those guys both have interviewed for the job. Both are possibilities. I would say probably Joe Brady a little bit more strongly than Brian Daboll at this time. But they want to go in with an open mind. This is something very open-minded to bring in Phillip Rivers. They're doing these interviews down in Florida. He lives in Alabama. It's a short trip over. If nothing else, you're going to be entertained by a few hours in that room. But you know, they didn't want to take a hard line of, we've got to have an offensive coordinator be the guy that we're promoting. It can't just be, well, we need this specific profile. They don't want to be doing another search for another 9+ years. And the fact that Josh is in those meetings, you know, they're very seriously going to take into account what he wants. You know, he played against Phillip Rivers. The two of them have a relationship. We'll see exactly how real this becomes. I would just tell you, Rich, I don't get the sense that, you know, you're going to wake up tomorrow and Phillip Rivers is the new head coach of the Bills. I believe they are going to be patient through this process. They quite likely are going to do some additional interviews next week. But because of the rules, anybody who wins their games this weekend, they can't talk to next week. They have to have the coaches those teams lose in order to talk to them, because they didn't do an initial round back while Sean McDermott still had a job because they were in the playoffs.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where does the Steelers head coaching search sit, Tom?
They're with Anthony Weaver right now, Dolphins defensive coordinator. Everywhere that Anthony Weaver, and he's been in the cycle now 3 or 4 times, everywhere that Weaver interviews, I remember he interviewed in Atlanta at one time, he interviewed in Washington. Everyone who interviews him says he's unbelievable. You know, he's a former player, you know, has coached in the league for a number of years, but also played, including with the Ravens, who interviewed him for their head coaching job. Very, very engaging, has strong leadership traits, will need a strong staff around him. But you can say that for a lot of young coaches within the league. If you think of what the Steelers' historical hiring patterns have been, Weaver's a little bit older. He's in his 40s. Usually they've hired guys in their mid-30s to be the head coach and then try to keep them for 15 to 20 or more years. But Weaver, you know, fills a lot of those things that generally the Rooney family has been looking for. But I would also say Mike McCarthy remains a serious candidate. He had his interview in person for the job on Wednesday. Pittsburgh guy, you know, this would be his dream job. He grew up rooting for the Steelers. Mike McCarthy brings something different to the table than I think virtually any other candidate for any job in this cycle, which is the quarterback development history. If eventually you are needing, whether it's Will Howard or somebody you're drafting, you're going to have to develop a young quarterback. And everywhere Mike McCarthy has been, from being in Kansas City and bringing along Rich Gannon into the second act of his career, Brett Favre, who had a down period in Green Bay and he was a Super Bowl, or excuse me, MVP runner-up in 2007. Aaron Rodgers going from a guy who did not look good in his first preseason in the league to being a 4-time NFL MVP. And Dak Prescott played the best football of his life under Mike McCarthy. I'll never understand, Rich, the slight that Mike McCarthy takes in terms of not being put in that same category as the guys with almost identical resumes to him, the Tomlins and Sean Paytons and John Harbaughs of the world. But McCarthy's a very serious candidate in Pittsburgh for a reason, and they still may choose to go on longer because, again, Art Rooney has not presided over a coaching search yet, and given how rarely the Steelers do one, this may be the only one that you know that he does before he passes it down to the next generation of the family. They may take their time here. They could make a decision as soon as tomorrow. I would think, if I were guessing, this goes into next week, which would allow them to go back and spend some in-person time potentially with, for instance, Chris Shula and Nate Shielhaus, two guys that they interviewed in that first virtual round.
Well, answering the question you just had moments ago, Tom, you know, about why McCarthy's not placed in a much higher level of respect by media members or owners for another job outside of Jerry Jones, there was that damaging article after he got fired midseason by the Packers that Rodgers was calling plays on his own because he didn't trust McCarthy's play calling anymore. There was all the crazy stuff about how prepared McCarthy was for games itself, whether that's right or wrong. That's a narrative that's tough to break up, to the point where we have time for it now. You kind of surprised us on a Monday conversation. We were out of time when you said that Rodgers could potentially come back to Pittsburgh if they hire McCarthy. So those two are copacetic, Tom?
Those two have a relationship that transcends the professional relationship, which I think, like plenty of them, if you're around anyone long enough, you know, you become so comfortable that you can be contentious with them at times. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, he knows what Mike McCarthy has done for his career. He has spoken publicly about that. And, you know, when Mike was let go, encouraged people in Green Bay to give him the type of send-off that, frankly, he didn't really get from the Packers organization when they fired him an hour after a game at Lambeau Field. Those two spent time together the first time that, you know, Mike with the Cowboys went back and faced Aaron. They've always had a longstanding positive relationship. I do believe that if Aaron Rodgers were coming back to play for one coach in 2026, it would be Mike McCarthy. But I think the people may have misconstrued when I mentioned that on the show the other day as, well, this is the Steelers trying to lure back Aaron Rodgers. That's not it at all. If they hire Mike McCarthy, and that's not a given, if they hire Mike McCarthy, they are doing it for the totality of what direction they think that they can go right now. They've got a very, very veteran roster. Art Rooney has said publicly he never wants to rip it to the studs and go full tank mode and just take a season off. He feels like every season is too important for that. So if you were sitting there going, what do we need to like push this roster forward? Yes, there's going to be some changes. There are some longtime Mike Tomlin guys who probably aren't going to be back on this team. But why not get a guy whose track record has been winning everywhere that he has been? McCarthy's been to the playoffs 12 times in 18 seasons. He's developed quarterbacks. You know, if you look at the offensive numbers, he's had very good offenses throughout the course of his career. The potential of an Aaron Rodgers return is just, it's kind of a bonus. It at least keeps that door open where if there's another coach who has no relationship with Aaron Rodgers, he might just say, you know, I've had enough. And I know that, you know, there were several different things that were written at the time. I think that any time that you have these longtime relationships that begin to go south, you know, there's people who, you know, may have axes to grind or they, you know, simply aren't happy anymore. Aaron has always been somebody who, you know, he'll say certain things and he'll take his little shots. And that's just his personality. But in terms of where their relationship is now, I think that, you know, in itself speaks to how overblown, you know, the frankly hate toward Mike McCarthy has gotten. I mean, I don't know what more you want to get out of your head coach than, you know, being in the mix every single year. Yeah, you want to win playoff games. Mike McCarthy's won more playoff games than any active coach except for Andy Reid and John Harbaugh. He's got more playoff wins than Mike Tomlin, than Sean Payton, than the younger guys like McVay and Shanahan, who obviously have a long way to go. Mike McCarthy's been a highly successful, you know, coach in the NFL. The Cowboys, since their last Super Bowl win, Rich, have exactly six seasons of 12 wins or more. Three of those were by McCarthy in a five-year span. It's baffling to me how Mike McCarthy gets put into this bucket of not being in the same tier as those other coaches, which, you know, frankly, Mike's not immune to it. And it's one of many reasons that he'd be highly motivated, not to mention the fact that, you know, he grew up sweeping the floors at his dad's bar and grill in Pittsburgh and cheering for the Steelers on Sundays. To go back after coaching the Packers and the Cowboys and take on maybe the third most iconic franchise in all of football would be pretty cool.
NFL insider Tom McCarthy here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. In the couple minutes I have left here, Tom, let's go here. Jimmy Haslam bristled at the Browns front office and operation being termed dysfunctional. That said, we're sitting here the Friday before championship weekend. The job is still open from the first Monday of the coaching cycle. Word is they are not Rooney Rule compliant. They cannot hire somebody right now. The Bills might be looking at somebody that they want to hire. The Bills are already Rooney Rule compliant. Their job's been open a fraction of the time, and we're reading about people pulling their names out of consideration for the Browns head coaching job. What is happening there, Tom Pelissero?
First of all, I would say Andrew Berry is the last person who is just going to interview somebody solely to fulfill the Rooney Rule.
Correct.
If he's conducting an interview, he wants it to be with someone who's a real candidate. Mike McDaniel would have fulfilled that. He decided that he just didn't want to follow through on that job coming off of his initial Zoom here. So that's one factor. You're right. They're the only team that has not conducted a single qualifying interview. That'll change or is scheduled to change next week when they have a second interview with Nate Shielhouse from the Rams. I would just say this. The Browns' search process and interview process, which they have run a number of times, is unlike any other in the NFL, and it plays to certain types of candidates. They are a data-driven operation in Cleveland, and so they spend an extraordinary amount of time gathering data on their coaching candidates. You're talking about taking a personality test. You're talking about writing an essay. You're talking about completing homework assignments going into both the first and the second rounds of interviews. It plays toward the types of candidates that they have in the mix, which is very, very smart people in a lot of cases that just often happen to be tall, thin guys who came from Ivy League schools, so that's certainly not a requirement. That's the type of candidate generally that is going to fit into a data-driven environment. So
There's a written test, huh? Really? Like they want you to write an essay? This is why I want to be the coach of the Cleveland Browns? Or
questionnaires, a multi-part essay, personality test, and then additional homework assignments if you get through the first round to get into the second round. Which
the answer can't be Google me? Like you can't go Cignetti? I know I'm being flippant, Tom, but that to me, I don't know. You're hopping around the country interviewing for jobs, kids, spouses, boxes being packed because you've hit the road and you're going to sit down and write an essay? You know,
could imagine then when certain candidates decide not to follow through on interviews, part of it may be that it's more than just show up in a nice suit and answer questions in the room. And that speaks to how the Browns organization operates. Sure. Paul DePodesta got there 10 years ago. He built out a massive data and analytics department. Those people have a strong voice in everything that the Browns do. There is a lot of time that is consumed once you're on the job with those conversations. And so the interview process is kind of a preview of that. So we'll see what direction their search goes. Sure. Again, Grant Udinski, Nate Shielhaus, two big brain dudes who, you know, again, happen to be tall, thin guys.
Nice.
They both are in the mix. Udinski's there now. Shielhaus expected to interview on Monday. If it's not one of those two, then the other candidates that we know of as of right now are Jim Schwartz, who's the defensive coordinator who they want to keep regardless, and Todd Monken, who does not fit in any of the categories that I just mentioned, other than he's a very intelligent guy who's run successful offenses in the NFL. I would tell you, Rich, the sense is the Browns are very intrigued by the Udinski and Shielhaus possibilities because they're both guys who are, I mean, Grant just turned 30. He's in his first year as the Jaguars OC, but he's unbelievably brilliant. Shielhaus is in his mid-30s, you know, was at Iowa State most recently with the Rams. Those guys fit the pattern. If the Browns on their scorecards that they collect do not decide that those guys are the best candidates, then the belief within the league is the default would be Jim Schwartz. Then you're trying to figure out, all right, well, now what do you do on offense to pair him? Who is willing to take that offensive coordinator job? There's just a lot of steps in the process, Rich, but the Browns, this is not new. They have done this for a long time, and it's just, as one high-powered coaching agent said to me the other day when we were going through the list of all the openings, the Browns are the Browns. Their process is different than everyone else's, and we'll see where it leads them this time.
Tom, thanks for the time. I'll see you on NFL Game Day morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 hours on NFL Network. See you, buddy.
Can't wait.
Tom Pelissero, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's beat it. We're late for Dylan O'Brien. Bring him on out, the star of Send Help with Rachel McAdams coming up. If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different.
because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message. Because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Our radio audience has just returned. We just saw an awesome clip starring Rachel McAdams and this man back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Friend of the program, Dylan O'Brien, is back here. Let's just jump into this. I mean, what is it like being directed by Sam Raimi, who's done everything from back in the day horror to Spider-Man? Yeah. What was that like for you?
He's very silly.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's a very silly guy. He's very funny.
All right.
He's almost kind of like a, you know, he fashions himself like a comedian, you know, and he is. He's very funny. He's very physically funny.
Okay.
He does very committed bits. The first time I ever met him, I walked into his office and he had a paper bag on his head. Yeah, and like he told, and he's like, "Hey, pal, how are you? Hey, Sam." Yeah.
Okay. So,
and he kept it on for like 8 minutes, and the whole time I'm just going like, "All right, I'm out of here." and it's incredible.
He does things like that.
Yeah, yeah,
head,
paper bag. Yeah, two holes cut out, and then he started kind of he had a lack of oxygen going on, so we had to get it off his. He's like, "All right, actually," and then it was like he's like it swelled a little bit in the heat, and he's trying to get it off his head, but it's very disarming.
I would say so.
You know what I mean, though, honestly?
Sure.
Like you walk in and it's like, you know, I've known who the guy is my whole life.
Of course.
You know, so, you know, you can be a little nervous and wondering what he's going to be like. I already had like a little idea because of weird texts that he would send me and the time I met him over Zoom. But
right.
That moment is very like welcoming. It's very like a sort of disarming way to start off the creative professional relationship. It sort of goes a long way in terms of... how he operates, which is really wanting your contribution, you know, and your ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not like a dictator, you know, and that's that breeds a good environment.
Well, again, you play Rachel McAdams' boss.
Yeah.
And you're on a you know, private flight and
yeah.
disaster hits, and then all of a sudden, you know, the dynamic of your relationship changes because,
yeah.
you know, you're now in survivalist mode.
Yeah.
And a psychological thriller breaks out here, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of, they set that initial dynamic, but what they've done a really cool job of too, all the while getting the movie out there, is they've really preserved sort of the, there's a lot more like twists and turns, and
sure.
it becomes like a battle of wits and a very chess matchy kind of, the movie takes on so many different shapes, like the ground's constantly moving underneath you, so you never kind of know where it's going.
You shot this in Thailand, right?
Yeah, Sydney and then Thailand. Yeah, half and half, like 6 weeks, 5 weeks each.
Damn. Ooh.
Yeah, it was wild.
So were you just setting up camp on this island, essentially? Like Survivor,
no.
Shooting this thing?
No, or? It's so much more glamorous than that. It's
okay.
Like, well, you know, no, I mean, it was like a dream job, but, you know, just like with Sam and... Rachel's amazing.
She seems really
she's
nice.
She's the coolest.
Is she Canadian?
She is Canadian.
That makes sense.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, they all are.
That's
they all are nice. Pretty, and or have crazy road rage. It's one or the other. You know what I mean? It's one or the other. They're either just like, oh, yeah, hey.
Were you driving in a golf cart with her to set and she starts yelling at people?
No, no, not okay. Rachel. She's okay. the best. No, just okay. I know from being in Toronto.
Oh, okay. You know,
to be fair, though, that traffic is... It's so crazy. So it does something. It must do something to them.
Okay. You know? All right. Well, this looks pretty sweet and for
Thanks,
you,
man.
And it's coming out on January 30th.
Thanks.
And, you know, again, Twinless, which you were here for the last time. Congrats
yes.
on being nominated for a Spirit Award.
Thank
for that,
you.
Dude.
Thank you, dude. You saw that? That's so cool.
Of course.
I appreciate that so much.
I follow your exploits and everything going on because, you know, I feel like you and I share a kinship.
We do.
And emotional scars.
We do. We do.
You know?
Trauma bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Is it true you were set up to go to the Newhouse School in Syracuse to do sports casting and decided to go acting instead?
Is that somewhat false? True.
Okay.
Yeah, I I don't know how set up it was. Okay. It was, I did have scholarship money from, weirdly enough, YouTube videos that I had made in high school that actually were the funny little things that I had out there that ended up getting me into acting. But yeah, that was the, Syracuse was the only 4 year at the time when I was graduating that I was considering doing. And then I kind of asked my parents how they felt about me staying and hitting community college and trying the auditioning thing, which had just very overnight been presented as an opportunity. And I
how'd that go over?
With my parents?
Yeah.
I mean, very luckily, you know, I mean, my dad's a camera operator, so he's, you know, he's worked on sets my whole life. And my parents both are big movie lovers. My mom was an actress when she was younger. She acted in high school, went to Performing Arts High School in New York, you know, like, so I have two like movie lover parents. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that went a long way in understanding that conversation because especially at the time, you know, I graduated high school in 2009. Mm-hmm. It was very much so still like 4 year was the track. I think community college and transfer was even just sort of, but my father had done that route in New York. He had went to St. John's and then community and then transferred to NYU. You know, they just, yeah. And my mom was very encouraging about the acting thing too. She was very kind of like, always thought I might be good at it if I tried it out, but I never did growing up. And then, they were like, listen, community college, here's the deal. We'll basically like, we can pay your rent as long as you're in school. And that's the deal. And so that's kind of how we did it.
Okay. Yeah. So, and so ever since you made that decision.
Yeah. Where you going?
The Jets haven't made the playoffs.
Dylan, you knew where he was going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find the watershed moment here.
Sure.
Literally, you know right? I mean? No, they went to the AFC Championship in 2010, right?
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. They did. And then ever since then,
yeah. It is. All right, let's get into it. What's going on?
Well, the Patriots are on the doorstep of the Super Bowl.
Stop it.
Don't
now.
Bring it. Up.
Yeah, could you imagine again? Like, what's worse? The Patriots zoom past the Jets in that diamond lane, you know, when you thought like they were even worse. No, in the NFL diamond lane, like just zoom straight past, and then may have to face Darnold in
Sammy
the Super
D.
Bowl. Yeah, and Darnold makes the Super Bowl, and the Patriots make it.
I would love it for him. Listen, I would love it for him.
Of course,
the Pats. Come on, it's just not fair.
I get it,
Drake May. It's just not fair. They keep hitting.
They keep hitting.
You know, we just never hit. Even when we hit, they got to go somewhere else to hit. You know,
that's right.
And it's
Robert Saleh might be the next one on that list too.
Let's see.
You know, we'll see. But it's just another organization that's like, okay,
I know.
I see what you got, Robert Saleh. That the Jets just decided mid-season that
didn't work out. Yeah, yeah, wasn't for us.
Spike.
Yeah, wasn't for us. You know,
I'm sorry to laugh. But this is the only reaction
it's,
you can possibly
it's how we
have
got. What do you
right
think?
Now.
It's how I even developed the sense of humor.
Because again, it's fan. Now it's being asked of you to believe in a rebuild again. Now it's being asked like now we've got the GM and the coach combination.
Sure.
To trade away Sauce and Quinnen and amass all these
five first rounders next two
and
years.
At some point go back into the draft and find the guy. Like trust us.
Yeah,
now
we'll get those guys again.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and make sure they're in good hands this time. We'll get them again.
Sure.
Here's what's embarrassing. I'm excited.
Don't be embarrassed.
You know what's funny? It's
Don't
like that's the sickness.
Fandom,
that's
dude.
The sickness. Yes. I'm like, man, we got three first rounders next year. We got two this year. I'm just like looking at the I'm already getting
you're looking
into
at, and Arch Manning's going to be in that draft with the three firsts.
That is true. I do hear that that's the year if you're looking for a QB.
Well, they did,
wait till 2026.
Well, they did that on purpose. Like they had a choice
think?
To say to well, yes.
You think
of course.
We
no
did
doubt,
that on purpose?
No doubt that the Cowboys, I'm sure, were willing to.
Yeah.
Like, let's get the firsts out of the way. They had an extra one next year because they of Micah getting,
right,
so they could
course,
flip
yeah.
one.
Right.
And the Jets are like, no, we'll take 27.
We'll take that. Yeah. Okay.
I think 100% that happened.
Yeah. The 2027 draft is supposed to be the deep QB draft. Yeah. Arch. What do you think about Arch, though? I mean, there's a lot of.
Well, you're asking a Michigan Wolverine who watched him blossom and bloom.
Yeah.
And
it all happened right in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm
he
like,
found it.
He did.
Yeah.
And TJ's got one of his rookie cards he's waiting to cash in for, what, a yacht?
Oh, wow.
What are you,
a buying a boat, a Dylan.
Yeah, like, Archie's got, like Elmo J. Fudd millionaire
over
there?
He's got the bus, the jacket, about six.
But that wasn't exactly siphoning a diamond that nobody was on. You know what I mean?
But I did this 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
These are high school
cards. I would have gotten an Arch Manning card when he was seven.
Right, yeah, right. No one did.
Just hearing that he was born.
No one did.
He's like, yeah, but I'm the only guy who did it. That's awesome.
Well, that said, and this is why you're such a good sport, that you're like, you had the foresight. Let's review your work.
Uh-oh.
I've been told you requested this. Am I wrong?
That's why I came back on the show, baby.
Well, that and Send Help is in theaters nationwide next Friday.
The timing was immaculate. I only did a movie that came out in this time, so I can wrap this back around.
You were last on this program in September.
Not sure what you're talking about.
To talk about Twinless again, which is available on Hulu in the Disney universe.
Oh, yeah, right, okay, here. It's coming back to me.
So you were... And here you are. We pick it up mid win loss game of you choosing your win losses.
Oh. All right. Let's see. What is it?
Hit it.
What happened?
Home for the Falcons.
Wait, I'm screwing this up.
It's okay. Just say it.
Well, yeah, they're going to surprise beat the Falcons.
They did.
6-6. Yeah. Home for the Dolphins.
Miami. God, I would love to beat Miami twice. Is it going to happen?
Do it.
I think at this point, Miami's a mess, and we we win. Yeah,
7-6 at the Jaguars.
7-6. Am I insane?
Keep going. You got it. Feel it.
This dude looks almost exactly like Jacksonville. I think I have to give us two more out. Yeah. We beat Jacksonville. Beat New Orleans.
That's 4 wins in a row. Now you're home for the Patriots. Home for the Patriots. Do it. Home for the Patriots. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I took that loss in New England, so let's give us the win at home.
Yes, at 5 wins in a row at the Bills. And you know the Bills are resting people. Do it.
We go to Western New York, and we take it from the Bills.
Yes, 6 wins in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11-6, says Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Chest. How did I end up there?
What happens in the win-loss game?
All right. You see that freeze frame of this at the end?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
My cousin memed that himself.
Did he really?
The day I did this episode, and he would send it to me all season.
No way!
And he'd send it to me. And it's also, by the way, this person that you just showed the clip, it does look like strikingly like me. It's crazy. It's
very close.
A doppelganger. Hey, you were right. They beat the Falcons.
I did.
By the way, cost the Falcons a division title and maybe ultimately... their coach, their job.
Play spoiler, baby. Miami, what we do.
Miami wasn't, was close to a mess, although maybe not when you saw him.
No.
The New England one, Drake May didn't play that in the second half because he had 5 touchdowns before halftime.
That one's incredible.
That one's a little off.
To look back on. Yeah.
And the Bills were resting.
They were resting and,
you nailed that.
And it looked pretty easy for them still. I did get one. It's wild. Here's how deep the delusion goes.
Please.
I still think they got a shot, like this season.
Coming up.
Yeah. No. It's current one.
How does that manifest itself?
It doesn't. It's impossible. But I'm just like, they still.
Who's more delusional, Dylan O'Brien here or Dylan O'Brien in his new movie? More delusional?
Yeah, it's wild. But
no,
again,
I hear you.
Listen, you got to own a bad call. And I've never been one to not own my bad calls. I famously, in my own life as well, do you know the app Uber? Like, have you ever heard of the Uber app?
Sure.
Yeah, so...
yeah?
So it's a ride share... Yeah, anyway, you get... So, so when this first came out back in the day, my girlfriend at the time, she was like, hey, I'm gonna go meet my friends, And I was like, oh, how you getting there? You want to drive you? And she's like, no, there's a new app, and it's called Uber. And I'm like, Uber, what the hell is this? And she was like, oh, it's like an app. And so a guy's coming to, pick me up. And and I'm like, in what? What guy? Who is it? What are you talking about? And I was like, so a stranger is coming to pick you up. In their personal car and take you to the bar. And you're telling me that? And I was like, yeah, this has got no legs. Also, I was like, Uber? It's a terrible name. It's never going to catch on. And guess what?
I thought the story was going to go where you had an opportunity to invest in it and you turned it down. Is that where you thought that was going?
That's where I thought, that would have been awesome. No. That's okay. No, but I wouldn't have. I would have bet everything I had against it. And, you know, listen, I got it wrong.
Dude.
I got it wrong to you.
It happens to the best of us.
So you've heard of it.
Your optimism, your glass half fullness is inspiring.
I appreciate that.
It's inspiring to me.
I appreciate that.
To all Jet fans, it's inspiring.
Another quick note.
Is it a Jet thing? Because you're like that, too.
Everything's glass half full, except that poor 14-year-old who said, I hate this team. You saw that video, right? The 14-year-old kid?
Oh, he's the man. He's the man.
I hate this team.
Yeah. I love that kid. Because listen, he's going through the motions. By the way, I guarantee you he doesn't feel that way now. He's excited about the 2027 first rounders. He's already scheming at who we're going to take two in the first round this year. He's building. He's building on his Madden video game. I know what he's doing. It breeds.
I know what he's doing.
It breeds optimism. It breeds not just relying on winning. You got to find some other resource for happiness.
Again, his new film is fittingly called Send Help.
Yeah, really.
The story
Send
of the 20,
Send Help.
Can we bring back the jerseys, by the way? Which
jersey?
They finished our old 2000 era.
Oh, like the Klecko?
We finished week 18 against the Bills. Remember? Bring them back.
Bring them back.
I'm so sick of it looks like a...
They're running it back.
Looks like a Canadian Football League team. It looks like an Arena Football League team. And maybe we are.
No. I want you stay positive. Stay positive, please. Stay positive, please. Send Help is in theaters nationwide next Friday, January 30th. Again, congratulations on a Spirit Award for your work in Twinless, which is currently available.
I appreciate that very
you
much.
Bet. Thank you bet. Stream on Hulu, which is what you should do once this show is over. Great
Thank
to see you,
sir.
Dylan O'Brien.
Great to see you always.
Anytime,
you
this spot is available for you, sir.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Certainly since All when right, the bro. Jets' next schedule has...
There it is.
There it is. My cousin's...
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, Pella Windows and Doors. We love being part of their world and they with us. Sometimes teams, as you know, need to take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen.
Pella.
So who do the Patriots play in Super Bowl 60, Chris?
The Los Angeles Rams.
Who makes Super Bowl 60, TJ Jefferson?
The Inglewood Rams.
The AFC participant? I only asked him who do the Patriots play because I'm assuming he's not taking Denver.
You know what, man?
Definitely not.
The AFC participant, unfortunately, Rich, I hate to say it.
Is?
What team do you think would hurt me the most to say?
I don't know. I mean, the Patriots really hurt you? What does it matter?
That means he's going to be happy and talking a lot. But unfortunately, I think the Pats are going.
Okay. I'm leaning in that direction too.
I'm not happy about it.
I'm leaning in that direction as well.
Rams, Patriots, or
well, I mean, I had the Rams winning it all, so yeah, okay. I know that sounds like a cop out in something like this because why wouldn't I now look at the way the Seahawks have been playing? What happened the last time they played? What happened the last two times they played?
Their team's kind of trending in the opposite directions, really. I mean, the Rams.
Well, I don't know about that. The Rams
lost last week.
Oh, I mean, the Bears should have lost last week, too. I mean, the only team that you look at, give me a division game other than the Seattle game where it's like, wasn't a full-on coin flip about the way things could have gone.
There wasn't.
You know, your team should have lost last week, too. I mean, I don't know if I agree with Orlovsky that name any other quarterback in the league and they would have won that game.
He did walk that back.
I know he did, but I think he was just making a point as to how C.J. Stroud underperformed in a game that was winnable.
Well, they had it completely
but, no, honestly, you could. The Seattle's the only division winner where the answer is clear who is the better team that day and deserving of moving on to the championship game.
But I will also say, like, none of these four, either matchup, any matchup you come up with, I believe.
Of course.
Anyone.
Well, that makes sense
teams.
in this crazy mixed up NFL world where it's been anything goes, anything can happen. That's any coach can get fired out of the blue. Yeah. One guy goes to the divisional round and gets fired, you know, 2 days later. And the owner says it's not, he's pissed about the way it all ended, but it's not the reason why that one ended. It's the way everything's ended. And it's tough to square that circle. And then you get two guys of tenure no longer coming back in a coaching carousel. You got one other guy, Mike McDaniel, who's fired in the middle of an exit interview.
That's crazy. Yeah.
On a Thursday. So why can't anybody win on Super on Championship Sunday and make the Super Bowl 100%?
Wide open this year.
No doubt.
Chris, what was the stat? 15 straight seasons, either the Chiefs or the Pats?
Yep.
Well, and if you go back two more seasons, it's either the Patriots, Chiefs, and the Jets.
Okay, we're not going to do that, though.
I'm doing that out of respect to Dylan O'Brien.
Enjoy the games.
This is going to be fun,
enjoy the games,
man.
Everybody. See you on NFL Network Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.